TLS is go for main engine start.
Go at throttle up. Negative return. Then we see a nominal MECO. Welcome to space.
Oh, hello. Welcome to our favorite show of the year. Every single year, Jake. It's here.
The best one.
It's finally happening. The off nominees are presented today. And we've brought a ringer. Miriam Kramer is back on the show. How's it going?
Hey. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So far, we've done this 2018, 19, 20, 21, right? This is our fifth off nominees.
Fifth annual off nominees.
So far, we've invited guests to the last couple, and they're always a little confused about it. But when we emailed Miriam, you were pumped. You were very excited about this.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I was in. I was like, I don't know what this is, but this sounds great. I'm so down.
Other times I was like, okay, I guess, yeah, that sounds fun. But they were like, is there any homework? But you were like, let's do it. So this is
yeah,
great. Like,
surprise me. We'll improv. It'll be fun.
Oh, man. Jake, how you doing down there?
I'm good. My family's coming in for Christmas, my wife's family on Sunday. And so I've been just nose to the grind, trying to just knock everything out of here so I can check out. And it's been a busy week, but I'm super excited. We're getting to the end here. I got a drink. It's the off nominees. Got the two of you. It's the holiday spirit, baby. I'm all here. Let's
do it. Did you bring something thematic?
I did. Yeah.
What you got? Oh, you're excited about this one too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the great spirit of the off nominees, we always get this every year. There's you called it a December surprise, right? We had a little bit of a thing last night. So in honor of the Soyuz coolant leak, I invented the Soyuz coolant cocktail.
My Lord.
So I went into my cupboard and I found vodka and some mint liqueur to make it colorful. And then I added a little bit of habanero liqueur to give it some spice and topped it up with some sparkling water, just a little bit of soda on top there. So it's probably going to be bad, which I think it should be considering what it's representing. Right?
It's incredible. It is shockingly close to whatever John Krause drank on this show about a year ago.
It's got a little more of a mouthwashy look.
Yeah,
and
more Listerine-y.
Taste.
Yeah.
Yep. Listerine. Yeah.
You didn't try it before mm-hmm. this, did you?
Nope, that was me trying it right there. Looks good. All right,
I feel like
let's do it.
The mint and habanero is quite like the choice.
You know what? Actually, intense. So I'm drinking this. It's actually not bad. Like, there's people that would like this for sure.
What a resounding endorsement of your own drink. There are fans out there somewhere. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'll think of Soyuz later when I'm going to the bathroom with this.
Right. So. Or just when your mouth feels horrible. Mint and habanero. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Miriam, did you bring something fun?
I don't know if I would call it fun, but it's certainly of this time of year. I have herbal tea. It's throat coat. Because my children have yet again made me sick, which has been a recurring theme for the past month or so.
Yikes.
So yeah, just like limping to the finish line here at the end of the year. Very happy to be with you guys.
The
today.
Dual child setup is twice as much surface area to be aware of. So it's problematic.
They just pass stuff back and forth to each other, and we're just caught in the middle of it, and
you need some mint mouthwash.
Okay.
Probably do it.
I need some mint mouthwash right now, like real antiseptic stuff.
Jake, I changed it up.
This probably
this year.
Would actually be pretty good
for sickness.
No Mad Elf.
No Mad Elf. I usually have Mad Elf from Trogs. Apparently, the local beer wars. Victory Brewing was like, we can't let Mad Elf keep owning us this bad in the holiday department. So I have a Victory version called Merry Monkey. Look at this monkey.
Oh.
So
okay.
It's very, I don't know if you can read that. Belgian style ale with cranberry, orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg, and it's 10%. So just over the borderline. Like, we need, Miriam, we're giving you a pass because of the sickness, but I think we should make a rule for all off nominee shows that everything that you drink has to have at least 10%. So you could do like a nice wine, or some sort of liquor, or very alcoholic beers. So
that's the rule I would like to propose. You guys, it's 3 o'clock here. Like, it's not even 4.
We have brand standards, Miriam. Okay. So it's in the logo.
I'll need to remember this for next time. Got it.
We have a little scene setting to do here. And I just want to let everyone know. We have put, I said last year on this off nominee show that we should make a website with all the off nominees. And I just this morning made a website finally. So if you go to offnom.com/awards, you can check out all past nominees, winners, runners up. And the one thing you'll learn from this is that we have literally no style guide to how we do these awards. Some years we've done categories, other years we've done finalists and runners up, and other years we've just picked a winner. So there's no spoilers on there yet. We're going to unveil the 2022 nominees as we go here. So it's spoiler free if you're listening live, but just to further emphasize what the off nominees are, Jake, how would you set the scene for the vibe that we're going for?
So it's evolved a little bit, right? Because I think when we first did this, we were just like, let's talk about things that went wrong. And then we just kind of, it was pretty, I think the first one was pretty improv. We didn't really think that much about it. And I don't really know. But it gets a little dicey when you follow that thread, though, because then you get into things where it's just like, wow, like something blew up, or like, oh, a company went out of business. And like, there are things that went wrong, but they're not really that funny, right?
Totally.
And so you have to be careful where we're drawing the line there. And so the idea behind the off nominees, the spirit of the off nominees is like weird and wacky and kind of unpredictably bizarre. So it should be fun and it should be interesting, and generally things that didn't go as planned, maybe
there
is a good way to think
about it. There needs to be a spirit of whimsy about it. It can't just be that it went wrong or failed.
Whimsy.
Yeah, there needs to be something whimsical about it that it just makes it hilarious.
We
did come up with some categories this year, though. So last year we had a ton of categories. Just to remind everyone, we had, like, Jake came up with this categorization last year: best rocket stunt flight, best performance, best Jeff Bezos cringe moment, best Russia, and then planetary and science. We don't have as many categories this year, unfortunately.
No. The spirit of always changing the format every year. should we go over categories first? Like, is that what you want to start?
Sure, there's two. So it's not a long conversation.
Categories. And I think that every journalist covering space this year will totally understand these categories. But the two categories are SLS and not SLS. So
that's what we got. Which one do we want to start with, Miriam? Do you have a preference?
Oh, no, you guys pick. I'm happy to go either way. Also, I think that the categories are correct.
I'm going to say we should start with SLS, because the non-SLS stuff is more fun to my eye. I have a feeling that the winner is going to be non-SLS, so I'm going to bias this towards, let's do not even a named category.
You're already tipping the scales. Oh man, this is
I am.
There's bias here.
Listen, hey, as one of the two hosts, you get to try to convince me otherwise. So we'll see. We'll see how you do. All right. Starting us off in the SLS category, we'll go. I guess we should go to an audio clip first. This is an audio experience.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was wondering some more details about exactly what this gaseous nitrogen issue is.
Oh, this is not the right link, is this? Oh, this is the right link. I thought I was doing something else.
Yeah, this is it.
And what the supplier is doing to correct the problem. And does it affect only 39B, or is this a site-wide issue that might affect launches at 39A or other pads? Thanks.
Great radio.
We have an off-site supplier for nitrogen. You've probably seen them if you drive on site here. You come up State Road 3 there on your left-hand side as you get ready to come into the gate here at the Kennedy Space Center. They provide a main pipe to the Kennedy Space Center.
All right, so the award, or the nominee, is Mike Serafin. Was that Mike Serafin? I think that was Mike Serafin, right?
No, that's Tom Whitmire, isn't it?
That was I don't know which one it was. Whitmire will get to.
That's Tom. That's our boy. That's our boy Whitmire.
So the wet dress rehearsal number, whatever. Air Liquide was struggling with liquid nitrogen, which is fine on its own. That's like a normal issue. That one is not what the off nominee here is. The off nominee is NASA not wanting to name the supplier, but giving you very specific directions to their facility. It's basically told you a street address. Like, if you come into Kennedy on State Road 3, it's on the left-hand side. But we're not going to name who it is. We'll just tell you, like, Google Street View it if you want to know who it is. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
What kind of standards are these?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Well, I mean,
That's a good one.
I think as we will see, as we progress through the SLS Awards, Tom Whitmire's got some, he's got some zingers up there and ready to go. So... maybe this is just a way for him to throw some punches, you know? I don't know. I can't decipher it.
That one's fun. A little bit of spirit of whimsy, but not, I don't think there's a lot of weight in that one. So, you know, congrats.
It's
you're
a good
not
memory,
nominee,
though.
But you know. Yeah. Jake, I feel like you should probably do the next one here as the person who took advantage of this situation the most.
I'm thinking, and I was trying to find the clip on this. We looked for a long time.
We uncovered a scandal.
Both you and I. Yeah, we may have uncovered a scandal here, but we cannot find the audio clip of Visibly Loose Nuts. So this was a reference to the SLS launch when they had to send the red crew out and they were fixing those, you know, they were torquing the bolts and there was like a hot mic moment and we can't find this hot mic moment. NASA, it's a big NASA cover up. So someone please FOIA the Visibly Loose Nuts hot mic. But that's what the crew said. They were like, the nuts are visibly loose and that's not good. That's not generally how you want nuts holding down a rocket, I guess. So, yeah. So I made a shirt immediately and then all the bots got it. So if you bought one, you probably didn't support me. You probably supported somebody.
That is hilarious, though, when you Google visibly loose nuts.
Yeah, Google visibly loose nuts. It's really funny.
It's just ripoffs of Jake's stuff.
Like, oh my God.
One of these is Jake's. Two of these is Jake's. The rest are all ripoffs of Jake's. And notably, none of them are the audio clip of visibly loose nuts because NASA has scrubbed this from the internet. And Miriam, I understand this was your favorite moment of the SLS launch.
It was. I was really tired and covering it here in Nashville after putting the kids to sleep and then just sort of staying awake on my floor in the living room, just like, I think they're really going to do it. Are they really going to do it? Is this really going to happen? And the bright spot of the whole thing for me was the visibly loose nuts and the red team and just watching like so many truly slap happy space reporters and space fans just losing it about the nuts. That was a real high point for me. And what otherwise was a quite brain melting experience of watching this launch, if only because I was exceedingly jealous of everybody who was actually there. So.
My favorite thing in searching the transcript, which I think adds a little bit of pomp to this being a nominee, is that if you search the transcript of the broadcast, the rest of the time, Daryl Nail was calling these bolts, and this was the one moment he said nuts. So I enjoy that. They were not referred to as nuts,
man,
everywhere else.
He deserves like every award, though. Like not the off nominees necessarily, but
everything but
just,
this one.
Like everything but this. No, because he was incredible through the entire SLS experience and extravaganza of this year. Like I don't know where we would be without Daryl. So shout out to Daryl.
Totally. And he and like not known to everybody, but like they had, you know, the launch broadcast, which was like, I don't know, two and a half, three hours long or something like that. And then he was on the tanking operation for like the 8 hours before that. So he commentated
incredible
like the whole stretch. And it was a crazy run.
Yeah. My favorite thing was watching the media channel because it was like just Daryl. It was only Daryl. And I was like, that's all I want. I just want Daryl. He's the one that's going to tell me what I need to know, and I can be calm the rest of the time. So, yeah.
Moving on, Jake. Last year in the best performance category, SLS Engine number 4 was an off nominee. And this year, one of its brethren is receiving the nomination, and that is Engine number 3, I believe. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to be outdone by Engine number 4. Engine number 3 decided to join the competition this year.
And I think your favorite part is the reasoning that the way the sensor is behaving does not line up with the physics of the situation. This was regarding the sensor that scrubbed the first launch of SLS, where we were on the beach and anxiously awaiting this. And it was a single sensor that they didn't even really need to use for the flight. That was the one reason they scrubbed it.
Yeah, I still don't feel good about this one, because it was like, they're just like, yeah, we left the sensor on and we don't need it, and it's wrong most of the time. But then it said it was bad, and so we listened to it and scrubbed the launch. I'm like, why is it here? But this, like, this expression though is so good. Like the physics of the situation. There's been a lot of like really good expressions that have come out of the Artemis campaign. I'm thinking like the direction of goodness. That's like one of my favorites. there's the physics of the situation. You can throw like mega moon rocket in there if you wanted to. Yeah. There's so many good like expressions, but this one, the
kinder, gentler fooling process. was it kind and gentle? It was like slower and gentler. And I was like, what were you doing before if it was not gentle to this giant rocket? Like, be nice to the rocket. Yeah, yeah.
They do get latched onto those phrases. I feel like it just percolates through the office, and then it just, like, no one can think of anything else to say except these certain phrases. Even the Mega Moon Rocket, when people ask, like, why did this come about? They were like, I don't know, I thought someone else said it, and then it sounded cool, so we kept saying it. It's like, okay, that's weird. Sure.
The best part about Mega Moon Rocket is that, like, it sprung up really quickly, and then they exactly what you said. They were like, we just heard it, and we loved it, and then it was everywhere for a little bit, and then it just, like, stopped, and they never said it again. It was like... someone that clamped down on it, I think. So it's pretty good.
So yeah, this sensor, Engine 3 sensor, really, I think this one is putting in the work, because not only did this effectively derail the launch for 3 months, right? Because like this, everything was good to go on this first attempt. I'm trying to think, would any of the other situations that delayed SLS between August 29th and whenever it took off, I forget the date already, would any of those situations have happened in that launch flow, or were they already like the hydrogen is fueling well and there was no leaks there at that point? I think they were fine otherwise, right?
I mean
that we know of, right? Like
that we know of. Yeah.
I just want to blame this sensor for ruining the celebrity guest scheduling. That was the like crazy ceremony that they had for August 29th.
Oh yeah, it's Engine number 3's fault that Kamala didn't get to see the launch.
All right, now we're getting into the good ones here on Artemis 1.
okay.
Tom Whitmire comes back with what may be our favorite moment from the SLS campaign, which is the not even a named storm moment when... this is Ian, I guess, right? This was the first one that was... percolating down by your house, Jake. Yeah, right. Which one was it? I think this is the one that was sitting by Jake's house at the moment that this press conference happened, in which Tom Whitmire shrugged off all of the profession of weather forecasting, like on a grand scale. Yeah.
This is love. I mean, this one was played to death. I don't know what more we can say about it, other than I want to just give a shout out to Eric Berger for getting the chance to write the story he was born to write. So it was good. I loved it. Yeah
he was absolutely
it's the speed at which this story developed, which is the best part. That the not even a name storm happened at like 5 p.m. and then at 9 p.m. it got a name. Like it was instant.
Yeah.
So like you could catch it all in one news cycle, which I think really, I mean, this last year, Jake, in the show, we had an Anthony category as well, in which we played two of my takes that were immediately wrong. had one that no one was ever going to sell a commercial Atlas V, and the next morning they sold like 9 of them. And then I had one that I said, what are you going to do, Russia, shoot down all our GPS satellites? And the next day they suggested that they would shoot down all of our GPS satellites. And this is very much in that same vein of like, you know, called shot and immediately wrong. Mine were not as impactful as this. So
No. Yeah. And we should note that we have not seen Tom Whitmire since. So please send us an email if he's still alive.
Yeah, that was it,
alive.
Right? He was gone. That was the whole Washington Post thing, right? The we pick up the Washington Post and see if it's going to rain, which like, there's just so much in that.
Yeah.
That I'd like to imagine the meeting where you had to sit Tom Whitmire down and be like, listen, this was a series of bad statements.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's just someone that really doesn't get what happens in Florida from a weather perspective. Like, it is, yeah, sure. It's hard to know if it's going to rain sometimes in DC, but like a hurricane, kind of a different story.
I also love it's not like it was some other random agency commenting on it, right? It was NASA. Like,
no, yeah,
they're the ones that have operate the weather satellites. It's unreal.
Also maybe. True.
Yeah. No, it couldn't have got much more ironic. So
that was a strange one. That was a pretty weird one. Yeah.
Well, the final entry in the SLS category. Is that correct? Is that this is the final entry? Hold on, I've screwed up my system.
It is. I think so.
This is the final entry.
Yes.
And this one, this similar. It's like
SLS by tangentially SLS.
Yes.
Okay.
Similar vibe though in that. this has been scrubbed from the internet, much like Visibly Lose Nuts. Okay?
Much like, we need to FOIA this. Yeah.
So SLS is the hottest new CubeSat launcher, as we know. do you know how this is a JAXA mission that was on board. I have no idea what the name of this mission is, Jake. Do you know what I'm supposed to do with the name of this mission?
I'm gonna take a wild guess and say Aculeus.
Okay, we'll go with that. This was a CubeSat that was launched on SLS, and this was a tweet they had. The second JAXA station pass after the closest approach to the moon. In this pass, we will perform cleanup maneuver to cancel the trajectory control errors. This small maneuver will precisely guide, what'd you say it was? Aculeus? Into the nominal trajectory to the Earth-Moon Lagrangian point. So, shocker, this tweet's been deleted. The cleanup maneuver had a name change.
Like this one.
This one's rough.
It's been cleaned up. Yeah.
It's been cleaned up.
This is rough. This is really rough. I have nothing to say.
I heard that you find a tweet actually if you look hard enough and you just need an ultraviolet light and then you can find it. So.
Oh my God. We're moving on. No. I was right. Miriam was right the whole time. There's nothing to say about this one.
There's nothing to say.
Nothing
you
to say
showed the tweet.
It.
That's all. Like, next.
So those are our five SLS entries. We got the non-naming, the anti-doxing strategy that NASA had with Air Liquide, Visibly Loose Nuts, Engine 3, Not Even a Named Storm, and the cleanup maneuver. What's your initial vibe, Miriam?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to beat Visibly Loose Nuts to me. that will be in my heart as one of my favorite space moments, maybe ever. Because it was just rare to have something that tickled me so much during one of these webcasts that I got through it okay. my anxiety really ratchets up during like a big launch. And so the SLS launch was... I probably should have been medicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the nuts got me through.
I enjoy that one because it opens up a series of questions. Like, if they were visibly loose, how did they stay that way for so long? Did no one see it? Or did everyone walk by and think, well, that's somebody else's department?
Right. And like, how visible were the nuts?
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
I mean, to someone, they were invisibly loose, right? Because someone passed over it.
Yeah.
So.
Solid point.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Do you want to lobby for anyone particular, Jake?
I probably got to throw some weight, some support behind my boy Tom, because that quote will live in infamy forever. So I'm gonna lean a little on that side.
I love the Tom one. I'm gonna be honest, because I enjoy that it. There's just so many angles to it. Like there's probably fights that he started within NASA over that. You know, like there were a couple angry emails within the agency. That. You should FOIA the angry emails.
I should FOIA for those emails. That's a really good point, actually. Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to write that down. Hang on.
Yeah, yeah. We love assigning homework on this podcast.
We do.
Are you, Miriam, are you good if we award this to Tom Whitmire personally?
Oh, yes. Okay. I think that makes sense.
I do also love when we can personally award it, like to a named individual, such as we did with Oleg Kononenko.
Oh man. Okay. All right.
Whitmire, so not even named Storm.
Is this like a finalist then? Or we've got two categories? Yeah, are we doing like a showdown?
We're doing it like we did last time with categories. We named a category okay. winner and then we named an overall winner. So
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay.
Now last year
we
decided Nauka won a category and that also was the overall winner, but we actually convinced Matt Russell that Nauka should be the overall winner, even though he never voted for it in the category round. So that was fun. But that was so there's minor stipulations here. But we'll move into the non-SLS category. And this is probably the kind of stuff, Miriam, that you were out on leave for part of the year that maybe never crossed your radar. And so I'm excited to dig into some of these ones.
I'm kind of excited. I know what they are. I looked at it, but I did not dig into anything. So I'm coming in pretty blind to this one. So,
Jake, as the Starlink user, I feel like you should do this first non-SLS category, which was the launch of Starlink, at which a geomagnetic storm destroyed most of the batch. The whole batch? Was it the whole batch?
Yeah.
It was like 55 out of 60, I think, or something crazy, right? Like it was not a good launch for them. They lost a lot of payloads there. But I mean, for me, mostly the reason I want this up here is not just because I'm a Starlink user, but it's a chance to reference the critically acclaimed sci-fi thriller Geostorm starring Gerard Butler, which is just one of the best movies I've ever watched. So I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to plug that.
Oh no.
And I think I got two episodes in a row now where I've mentioned Geostorm. So we're gonna see if we can get a hat trick on the next one. It's gonna be good.
You're gonna have to remember though. That's a couple weeks away. I do enjoy this one thoroughly because of how like the positioning of this would have been a major incident for any other launch campaign. Like, holy crap, we just lost everything to a geomagnetic storm. And this is like, damn, we'll just get on to the next one. Like, it was so not an issue. And I think that's hilarious.
It's very SpaceX as far as like an attitude goes. It's like, oh,
yeah.
All right.
That, like, we just lost more next satellites one. Than most operators have ever launched in one week.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. I mean, this one was right before I gave birth. This was like 10 days before I gave birth.
Wow.
I think. So I was paying attention when this happened and I thought it was kind of crazy and a little funny. So it feels like it's right for this show.
Yeah. This kind of phenomenon though is like, it's the reason that I am always so impressed when they can land spacecraft, like when a Soyuz or Orion or whatever comes home and they're like, they can land it with any kind of accuracy. Cause like the atmosphere is just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's just like growing and shrinking all the time and doing weird stuff from the sun. And I'm like, how do you even predict anything? It's wild to me that you can do that. I don't know. This gives me there's a point of hope from this.
All right. Well, that draws some points away from it being the category winner. So, yeah. If this was an educational experience, that's trouble.
I just love the sun, though. Sorry. I mean, that's quite the star. It's like
best one.
The star.
We're going to talk about why this happened. It was the sun. Like that's great. That's like some interesting physics. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, not today. No.
The most effective anti-Starlink propaganda of all the anti-Starlink propaganda. All right. Keeping it SpaceX themed, the next nominee here is the FAA for assigning a book report to SpaceX on the Mexican and Civil Wars. Also turning them into a wildlife viewing organization. They have to create a couple platforms. And I believe, what is the Starlink powered wildlife viewing? I don't even remember what that was, Jake.
Starlink powered wildlife viewing?
Oh man, provide enhanced satellite monitoring via solar powered Starlink for remote wildlife viewing opportunities. They have to do like ocelot cam. I forgot about that.
That's kind of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, this is great.
This report is just so much fun. It's so much fun. There's just like a laundry list of like little tiny chores they have to do to like, you know, launch the biggest rocket ever.
Do we have any insight into where this is at?
No, I still have not got my hands on the book report.
Miriam, where's those notes?
I have
put this in that note.
Okay, I'm putting it in the notes. I'm putting it in the note. You can see you're signing me a lot.
You can FOIA the FAA's emails about book reports.
I literally have notes going. I'll show them. I'll show you later. But I'm like, yeah, no, okay, story idea is great.
This is our job to ruminate about it. Your job is to, you know, get the deeds. So
write stories.
I need to get the deeds on this content.
Yeah, imagine you broke the story that you have the report from SpaceX, you would be going huge. So
I'm going for the Mexican and Civil War report. That's what I would like to see. Like, is it double spaced? Mm-hmm. What font do they use? Do they mess with the margins at all? Was there a page length sort of assignment?
Chances that make sure we chat GPT.
Ooh.
100%.
Yeah.
Hi.
Pretty high. Okay. Yeah. We should give it to like an English professor to grade after we get it. Like we should get someone to mark it.
We could probably find somebody whose kid is in school and could submit it as like a project.
Oh.
Especially if we get it before it's submitted to the plagiarism sites, then we'd be good.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like Elon's fear of AI might keep them from using the chatbot for the purpose, but who knows?
It could be good. What a weird story. I honestly thought we'd have more insight into what's going on there. I'm going to be honest. Like,
once they got that big green check mark, Anthony, nobody cares anymore.
Like, for sure, but like, right, I want to know, where do I go to track progress on how they're doing here? Is there a spot I can go? You know? Why does NASA spaceflight not have a book report cam at all times? That it's like the intern writing this report. Like,
subscribe to my newsletter and I'll try to write about this for you.
The Boca Chica files.
Plugging it.
The Boca Chica files.
Oh, God.
Moving on.
No.
I've got YouTube ads. Give me a second. Hold on.
Anytime we get too close to Elon, we have to pivot.
That's the segment change moment. But it's an Elon story.
If you were on NSF Live with us yesterday. Oh, hey.
Explodes.
Whoa.
Epically.
Whoa.
On the test
Whoa.
Stand.
This one.
Yeah.
I was definitely not around for this one.
So this blew up the launch mount. I assume knocked off a bunch of concrete since everyone's talking about concrete lately.
Okay, so, well, we just saw something happen here.
You want to hear the reactions as well?
If you were on NSF Live with us yesterday. Oh, hey. Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
I love the reactions as well.
Whoa.
So, I think this was the only Starship entry we've got this year, Jake.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty quiet year for Starship. They didn't really get a lot done, so.
See also the previous story.
I like to just put a little comment like that to see what kind of emails we get too. It's always really fun. So
That's a fun topic, Miriam. So when you went out on leave with the new child, and then when you got back to work, were you expecting to catch up on more Starship news than there was?
Yeah, actually. I was like sort of surprised because I had written like a long Google Doc of all of the things that might happen while I was away. And like SLS was on there, Boeing's first crew was on there, like just crazy stuff, like orbital starship, like maybe, like who knows, keep an eye out. And like Starship, possible orbital flight when I went out on leave was still like on the table for this year. So yeah, I mean, it was funny. I wasn't like under a rock. I was mostly like under a baby occasionally looking at Twitter. So I sort of like wasn't all that surprised that these things hadn't happened by the time I came back. But it was like, I feel like I would be embarrassed to go back and look at that doc and be like, oh man, it didn't do it
nothing
right.
Happened. Like those, yeah. Do you remember anything on there that did happen that you were like, oh wow, look at that.
Yeah. What I do. Did you get yeah. Right?
A couple of JWST milestones because those were already like in the works and going to happen while it was away.
That was like final deployment. Right. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, I think that, it got to L2 and then I sort of went on leave. So they started to use the, mm-hmm. you know, it was like first photos. Some of the first photos kind of came out, like the engineering photos. So yeah. Yeah. I was like nap trapped a lot and looking at Twitter and being like, oh, no new Starship stuff. Interesting.
Well, a story you may have seen, but this was pretty early. This was March. So maybe not. Real. Mm-mm. This is a first real strong contender from this category, I'd say. The time that the Russians wore Ukrainian-looking flight suits into the ISS. This is pretty epic. Yeah. Because this led to the whole, like, you know, is it about Ukraine? Is it not about Ukraine? Did they expect to win the war already? And this was like a celebratory thing. Was it actually about their college? Like, was the reasoning given? Who cares what it's about? It's the Ukrainian colors. Let's use it for propaganda is kind of where we all landed on this.
It's a wild. Wow. I haven't actually seen this footage before. Cause yeah, this was like, when was this? This was March.
This was March, early mid March.
Yeah. I'd like pretty much. Oh yeah. It was less than a month after my baby was born.
Like 3 weeks
so.
After the invasion, right?
Yeah. This was real early on.
Yeah.
So no, I did not see this one. This is really, that's something.
So I still have like, okay, I throw away all the conspiracy theories. Like it doesn't matter whether they planned it or not. I still am fixated on the idea that at some point as they were like docking the station and getting ready, they made a decision to put them on still.
Yes.
Like that still happened. And that was a decision that was made in the moment. And so they had all the information and someone said, it's fine. Let's just put these yellow and blue suits on. It's totally fine. It's good. We're fine. This won't cause any problems. So like there's either an incompetence here or a plan, you know, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say.
Did anyone deny that it was like supportive of, like, I'm just like, what was like the public messaging from Roscosmos about
this?
They're wearing it for this college
or whatever they went to, this university. Oh. Like, did all of the crew members go here? Or just some of them? I forget. Either two of them or three. They all did.
Two or three did, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the thing. Was like, this is to honor their college, essentially. But Jake's right. Like, I don't know. The Soyuz, I don't know if you've seen some pictures of the inside, but getting changed into anything in there is a feat. Like, that takes some work.
Yeah.
You got to send the other two probably into the other little hatch so you have enough room for your arms and legs as you're getting into this, like, fairly tight-fitting suit. So a defined part of the mission was, let's take 10 minutes and put on these suits together. So I totally agree that, like, maybe the off nominee here is not the creation of these suits, but the decision to go ahead and continue to wear the suits at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Now I'm wondering if you know, Jake, one thing that we missed, maybe it's not list worthy, but remember the weird like InfoWars looking live stream that happened on the Russian side of the station? I think we talked about this on the archaeology show.
Did miss that.
I need to find when we had Justin Walsh on.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, we had Justin on, and we were. He was like going off like all like anthropologically on that picture, because there was like all this like Russian iconography, and he's like, "You can do a whole book report on this picture." Like it was pretty crazy.
But now I'm wondering, was that an assignment to them since they wore these Ukrainian looking flight suits in, that they like had to bend the knee and do like a Mother Russia presentation?
You may not be wrong.
I've never linked these two until now, looking at backwards this many months, but it was the same crew. So
boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a story.
All right. Making notes, Miriam.
And then on the list, guys, okay, what is happening?
Can you do FOIA requests work at the Kremlin?
I don't. I could FOIA NASA for emails.
God, I love that she's actually like taking notes.
It's my go-to. It's just like, who can I FOIA? Like, who is the public agency that works here? I don't want to give away my secrets, but that's how I'm. That's what I do.
All right, I've got we have the late breaking story, Jake, that you think should be on the list.
I'm working on getting
this video clip. So last night.
I emptied the glass, too. It's all leaked and it's gone.
Oh, look at that.
So,
well, let's talk about it. Last night, the Soyuz coolant leak. Now, I think this doesn't necessarily have the whimsy that is required to make the list this year, except for the one clip that was later in the night. And I don't know if I'll be able to find a clip of this in particular, but this one. This is the one that I want to show you. So later in the night, when we had a different camera angle on this and the stream started going like, you know, one of my children or Miriam's children holding a garden hose and just spraying it all over the backyard. That was the moment I thought this might have what it takes, because it's just, you know, shooting this off like a sprinkler. I don't know. What do we think happened here?
that's the other part of this. Just like you're not sure. Yeah, you're not sure if this is like bad Russian quality control or if a Russian micrometeoroid debris hit it. So it's like which possible screw up is it from the Russians on this one? And it's like a toss up.
Yeah, whatever it is, hope it gets resolved soon, because it's bad.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what I it's not say about this. It doesn't look great.
I think they're already saying that the crew is never in danger and the ship is flyable. So I don't know. We'll see.
The crew is never in danger thing drives me nuts.
Never.
Well, it was like, I mean, they said that when like the station, like pinwheels at one point, like they weren't, when would they be in danger? Like, if not then.
Yeah, even right now, like, they said it's flyable. That's the initial report. We don't actually know if that means with people yet. That's my stance, right? Oh, it might be flyable home, but it might not be able to fly home with Frank Rubio and friends inside. So, if that's true...
I'm pretty sure they could have, like... They could have like an aggressor in the space station firing a gun, and as long as the bullets missed the astronauts, they would say they were never in danger because the bullets were in a different direction.
Also, it is already factually incorrect that the crew is never in danger, because the Russians were about to go out on a spacewalk, and if this was debris, they were 10 minutes from getting hit with that. Like... 10 minutes and 10 feet from getting hit with that. That's extremely close. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the money line odds that this was caused by someone in Russia, either the person who built this coolant loop or the person who decided to do the anti-satellite operation last year, is very good general, odds. Yeah. Yeah, really good odds that it's one of those two. God. Yeah.
Dark. Yeah. So dark.
Well, that's a good one.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah. Let's move on. This one was in April. I'm going to say there's a a 3% chance that Miriam caught this, because this was one of those things that, like, you may have, because it was just some dumb Twitter shit. Like, this was some dumb Twitter shit. So maybe you did catch this.
Nope.
Okay.
I didn't catch this one. Yeah.
Jake, do you remember any details about this? Okay, so you're still out. So this was April.
I first saw this in our Discord. I think one of our fellow propulsion engine Discord
noticed this.
It was Lars. Yes, yes. And he was like, look how unsafe this rocket company is, and showing this video. And then I think then Berger found it and wrote a story about it, which I think you're showing right now. And then the company had to respond. And it was like kind of a wild little couple of days. And the video is, I don't know how to describe. They take it down. Also scrubbed?
We have the highest percentage of off nominees that have been taken down by the time we do the show this year. This is awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if we have that footage, but I mean, basically, they pulled out a rocket on like a little trailer and then just like dumped it full of very dangerous fuel and kind of like lit it and it blew up. And like you can see them running there, like running for their lives. And I think that's all like hydrazine smoke there, the orange, right? Is that hydrazine? I don't know, but it was very safe. But that's the instant is not the optimal.
Yes, that's what this is what I want to get into. The kicker here is that so the whole thing that Jake said happens, right, where the people find the video and Eric Berger finds the video and writes about it, and then they respond to this on their own website, okay, pythom.com.
Oh boy.
And that's the response is what the response is. That's not the off nominee here. The off nominee is the fact that in their own website they have a photo that says screenshot courtesy Eric Berger Ars Technica. they gave Eric credit for the screenshot from their own video, which is
amazing.
The funniest thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like negging yourself. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Like, we didn't publish this, okay? Eric Berger took this screenshot. I love
it. It was really good.
I bet Eric's is like courtesy of, or
that's
the courtesy of Python. Like,
yeah, it says
come circular again.
I think it just says a Python space video. Yeah. Oh no, yeah, the credit right here on the side is Python space.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So, which is a really exceedingly dumb name, by the way.
Why isn't it Python? I would think an N would be their friend, but
I don't know.
You know, that's okay.
Because the domain name was available. That's why.
100%.
Probably true. Yeah,
totally true. All right, that's a good one. All right, here's two with, and this is good. We're making good time here. We got two left that are, I think, pack a real punch. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Astra, let's fire up this video of the Astra launch. Let me pause it real quick. Hold on. Let me get to the right
moment. Miko, or main engine cutoff.
that's the second stage launching right there.
Boom.
That was fairing separation and stage separation. And you can see that the upper stage ether engine running has lit.
I love the cheery tone over top of this too. This thing is just spinning, okay? Spinning. Aggressive. Such aggressive spinning. Oh, man, and I love that you can still see it in the front-facing video.
All right,
let's watch this one more time.
Yeah.
Because, there goes the upper stage right into the fairings, and then the engine lights,
right into it.
And it Kool-Aid mans out of the fairing.
That
which
was
is the
fairing separation and stage separation. And you can see that the upper stage ether engine has lit.
As far as launch failures go, spectacular. This is a spectacular
launch failure. This is a great
launch failure. If there was a category for best launch failure, this is the winner for sure.
Easy. Yeah. This might win the best launch failure that of all the launch failures that we've had in the off nominees. I think this is better than the power slide of last year.
They beat you themselves.
Amazing.
I think they beat themselves from last year. Yeah. I think they helped hit themselves this year.
Poor Astra.
Where are you at on that, Miriam? 3. Power slide or Kool-Aid Man?
I like the Kool-Aid Man. This one tickled me, really. Like
the delay, because like, it gets caught in the fairing, so you're like, well, oh, what's going to happen now? And then it, boom, it explodes, and it's you can see it spinning. It's so
yeah.
good.
Oh, great. Just good. It's solid. Really solid.
It gets much like the better. Bonus points for yeah. the cameras pretty much working really well through all that. Like a lot of times when something goes wrong, you lose the camera feed.
But
the
or cameras are like, away.
Yeah, we got yeah. all of it, man. It's all good.
I respect it. I respect that so much. I'm like, if you're going to yeah. put cameras on your rocket, if you're going to have a launch webcast, you're going to show us the failure. And I want to see every minute of it. If it messes up, it's like, this is the deal, the contract that you have when you decide to show us your cool rocket launch. If it fails, I get to watch all of it too. That's the way it works.
Astra has an exquisite sense too for keeping up the webcast. If you remember from the Power Slide webcast, the first thing they said after the Power Slide was, next up is Max Q, was the thing that they said. Like, like whatever, we'll be a little bit late, but we'll make it to Max Q. And this was, yeah. and that was fairing correct. Separation, and they're like, it certainly was, but it wasn't because of why you think it was. I love that.
Aww.
It's so good. The positive Astra. Spin. Also respect that. I respect that too.
Astra doing its thing. All right, let me get through one more YouTube ad for another classic Russian moment on the yeah, space yeah. station. Just
yes.
witness this one. This is a classic.
This one's going to be a contender. This is going to be a contender.
The cover is tethered to the hook. Copy. Go to deploy when ready. Okay, just let me get my bearings.
Narrator, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah.
Here it
this
goes.
Is wild how they do this.
Stop laughing.
I'm like kind of surprised.
The tether. Tether is removed.
I love the narration too. It's amazing.
So much
there it comes.
What's about to
here we go.
Okay, we see the previous satellite. And 1, 2, 3, go. Yes, go to deploy. Oh. Off it goes.
Off it goes.
Rotation time.
Over the border between Mali and Algeria, the seventh of the 10 nano satellites now in flight.
One passes close to the solar array. Oh, it touched the battery. Touched it another time. That's the last contact.
So he throws the CubeSat into the solar array, but just listen to this part of the conversation. Listen to this part of the conversation. This is the kicker. Because they're trying to figure out what to do with this, right?
Ну, следующий спутник тогда надо немножко в другую сторону.
Okay, Oleg. Then the next satellite needs to be sent at a somewhat different trajectory. Right. It's just that I was aiming towards the wake of the previous satellite. But I think... It is okay because the first contact was very mild and the second contact was at the frame. We copy that, Oleg, but nonetheless, make sure they go past solar arrays without contacting them.
Oh my god.
That's the part.
Copy.
But nonetheless,
okay, let's
please
do the next
don't
one.
Do that again. But nonetheless...
Oh my god.
So yeah, if you're not watching, Oleg Artemyev threw a CubeSat into the ISS solar array on a space launch. Yeah. It happened.
Yeah,
totally
I know.
Happened.
The commentary is what makes it though. And it's like I was trying to do it better. You understand. But at this time actually be better.
You gotta wonder is this the moment when they stop throwing CubeSats?
No, oh, God, I hope not. I hope
No, because they can't afford a proper two-player. So, like, what are they going to do? Build an airlock? Come on.
See, I love a Russian spacewalk. Like, you never know what's going to happen on a Russian spacewalk because, like, they are absolutely going to throw something off of the space station. Like, it is going to just, like, it's going to be like anything. Like, they're going to be like, oh, this bag, like, bleh. Like, just toss it out and away. Like, and usually there's like a ton of build up to that moment, so it's always great. Or, you know, someone's going to like pull out a knife.
An actual knife.
And start like dabbing like the insulation on a Soyuz. Like, one of my favorite things about being a space reporter was like realizing how great a Russian spacewalk was. Like, the pure beautiful chaos of a Russian spacewalk is like a lot of why I'm in the game still today.
I'm going to vouch for this being the winner of not only this category, but of the entire year, is that this is a near identical conversation that we had with Marina 3 years ago after the daggering of Soyuz, when she said she enjoys Russian spacewalks because they joke the whole time. And I can't imagine this transcript would happen on a U.S. side spacewalk where they're like, all right, Toma, please throw the CubeSat differently next time. He's like, I don't know. I thought I did all right with that one. Like, that went pretty good. It went right where the other one went. I love that.
It's like, I know it. The solar panel, but like, it looks fine. It looks fine.
They're upgrading them anyway.
Oh my God.
They don't even use these ones anymore.
I love that Marina and I both have the same answer. That makes me really happy. Marina's one of my favorite people, so that's a delight.
So what do we say? Non-SLS category. What are we thinking?
I think it's clear winner.
Yeah.
And what are we thinking? He's the overall. He beats Tom Whitmire.
Clear winner.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, listen, definitely. The second Oleg to win an off nominee, by the way.
Well, doesn't he get bonus points because he was involved in like two of the other stories as well? Like, isn't that
very true? That's a great point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, solid.
You like awarding these personally? Well, Oleg gets this one, I think. So,
yeah. Oleg Kononenko won in 2018, and Oleg Artemyev wins 2022. So, congratulations. We got to start making awards and actually mailing them to these people. That'd be awesome. Maybe like what certificate that you used to get from like elementary school. That's what I'm thinking.
With macaroni on the outside?
Yeah.
All right. Miriam, what you been up to lately, other than the kid stuff and the sickness that we talked about?
Yeah, no, I've just been writing the Axios Space newsletter each week and reading The Hobbit at the moment, which is a true delight. I haven't read it since I was a kid, and it is...
Wow.
It holds up.
It's an incredible journey, yeah.
Wow. It is. It's an incredible journey. It's wonderful. And then the only other plug I have is that I've been watching Andor, and it has made me like Star Wars, which is new for me.
That's a huge endorsement.
So, okay, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still got to watch it.
I'm very not Star Wars-y, so.
Exactly. Like, I'm a big Trek fan. Mm. I'm a Trek person. So, you know, you give me a Star Wars that looks like a Star Trek, I'm gonna be happy. So I'm learning.
We were
about
supposed
that.
To ask you about 2001: A Space Odyssey. Marina told us to do that was on last week because we talked to her about that movie, and we roasted it pretty good. But we hear that you're a stan, a 2001 stan.
Oh, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a stan. I just see the art in it, and I like that. I like a big swing. And it's a big swing.
Marina's all business. So. Marina's all business. She wants plot, doesn't want any of this arty stuff. So
I respect that. I do. But, you know, it's like the monolith's pretty cool. Like, yeah.
Good spacewalks. Comedic spacewalks.
So And the spacewalks. I mean,
if you like spacewalks where they throw things, boy, would you love 2001: A Space Odyssey.
God, that's what it is. That's it. All comes back to that for me. It's just I want a spacewalk like where you 9,000. Throw things.
Jake, what you got?
What do I got? Oh, I just put out an episode this week with Eric Berger. So we talked about Artemis. Looking ahead. So finally, we don't have to talk about Artemis 1 anymore. And so we sort of reveled in that and looked ahead to 2 and 3 and 4 and beyond. And, you know, what's the story? And there are some fun moments in there. So I think it's a good scene setter for what our content's going to be on the Artemis program coming up. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great.
Man.
Jake, I fulfilled one of your wishes today.
Oh,
I what's that? Ruminated on the National Security Space Launch Phase 3 contract round.
Oh.
So, yeah. I talked about the very topical thing that you're really interested in, Jake, which is military acquisitions. The satellites, launches, the whole nine Ooh. Yards. Yeah. There it is. It's on the Miko feed. Basically, I think they should do it like Clips, and Clips sucks at it for a different reason than this would be good at it. That's the TLDR. So
okay,
there it is. You don't have to listen.
I'm excited
anymore.
To listen.
So, let's see. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, we're taking 2 weeks off for Christmas, right? So we'll be back in three weeks.
Thursdays. Is that January 5th? Right, Lauren Grush will be on January to 5th. Do some predictions.
Whoa. Yeah, that's the other. That's the other good episode of the year. Predictions.
Mm-hmm.
See where we're at.
See how wrong we'll be.
I love that you guys are getting like Marina, me, and then Lauren. Like
it's a powerful lineup for the turn crew. Of the year. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Power trio. Yeah. Yeah, we need to bring in the big guns for these important episodes. So.
That's exactly right. Well, thanks again for hanging out, Miriam. Now I'm like Marina because you put Marina in my head. Much like probably you've been confused like that on every NASA call ever at some point.
Yeah, but the funniest thing has been when PR people will email me and say, "Hi, Marina." And I'm like, "I know who you emailed before me."
The other MK.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, everybody. See you later. See you next year.
Have
is that, that comment
everyone.
That everyone always does.
See you next year. Yeah. See you next year.
Congrats, Oleg.
Thanks for having
You're
me.
The best.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. End of test.